Tom got roughed up pretty good. I don't know if Tom remembers that.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Sure he does.
And Tom, we were sitting at the counter with my two young boys at the time, and one of them taps me on the shoulder and says, "Dad, I think that's Tom Glavine over there sitting at the table. He was there with his son and an older gentleman." He says, "Dad, can we go get his autograph?" And I said, "Well, you know, let's just wait till he finishes eating." And I said, "You know, he just had a rough outing, and I don't know if he's going to be in any kind of mood. You know, I didn't want to get their hopes up too high." But Tom comes up, pays for his check. We're sitting right there. Not only did he sign autographs for both my kids and myself, but he spoke to us for a good 5 minutes, because I'm from the New York area, and we got to talking. And he couldn't have been more gracious. You know, I think that's just a perfect example of what a class act he is.
790 The Zone is Georgia Tech's flagship station. WQXI Atlanta, a big league broadcasting company. High school recruiting has become a religion in Georgia. And for the next 2 hours, get ready to know everything about where your favorite player may be going or how your college team is doing. It's time for Score Atlanta's official visit, Atlanta's only high school recruiting show.
Good afternoon, Atlanta. You are listening to Sports Radio 790 The Zone. This is the official visit brought to you by Score Atlanta and SouthernPigskin.com. Atlanta's only, I should say Georgia's only all-recruiting radio show.
Let's just go ahead and say it, the South's only.
The South's, which makes us the very best in the business, as I always like to say. I am Scott, the self-proclaimed Brain Janovich, joined in the studio as always by Doc Proc, Fletcher Proctor, Alex, the A-Train Ewalt. We have an amazing show planned for everyone today. We have Brookstone's Brian Vogler will come on. Vogler, I should say, will come on for an interview at 2:20. We also have Chad Simmons of Scout.com scheduled for a quick interview at 2:50. Dalton's Jalen Fields, a top-notch defensive end who's already committed to the University of Georgia, will join us at 3:20. And Brandon Burrows from Walton High School will be with us at 3:35. So we got a great show planned for everyone today. How are you guys doing?
You know what? Actually, somebody sent me an email, which is interesting, asking, so they call you Doc Proc. Really? They call you Doc Proc?
They asked you how to explain it?
I said, well, hey, I did go and get my PhD. And they said, in what? And I said, kicking butt and taking names.
Wow. That's not a real
What does your certificate say?
That's bad. That's not why I call that, for the record, is not why I call you Doc Proc. I call you Doc Proc simply because it sounds awesome.
It rhymes a little bit?
Absolutely. Is anyone other than me nervous for tonight's basketball game?
You need to take away from the Red Bull, by the way.
The NBA Finals are tonight for everyone. Of course, we're a recruiting show, but I can't.
Very busy show. Let's go ahead and get into it.
We're going to dive right in.
Our weekly recruiting roundup, beginning with Gainesville athlete Blake Sims, who was one of the many recruits in Athens last Thursday for the 7-on-7 tournament. Of course, he excelled at multiple positions, and the Alabama commit will be in Tuscaloosa, or was in Tuscaloosa this weekend, and will be in Georgia, Athens next weekend. So look out for the Dogs trying to steal a player from Alabama. Former Milton basketball star Connor Nolte, who I'm sure a lot of people remember from 2 years ago, was granted his release from Furman this week and will walk on at the University of Georgia. I'm sure you're excited to hear that.
Very excited about that. Oh, and one quick thing about Blake Sims. I've considered him. I followed the AAA, you know, the 3A classification football finals playoffs last year. What an athlete he is. That would be a great get for Georgia. He probably wouldn't play quarterback. Probably would play either wide receiver
probably won't
or defensive
play quarterback,
back, but would be a great get for the Dogs.
Yeah, he can play a number of positions. South Paulding corner Ryan Ayers visited Athens for the first time on Tuesday, and now has Georgia at the top of his list along with Tech. He will be visiting Alabama next week, and also got an invitation this week to participate in the Under Armour All-American game down in Orlando, Florida. So congratulations goes out to Ryan Ayers for quite an accomplishment. The recruitment of Walton defensive tackle Kyle Westman is really hitting up lately, and the talented athlete has received offers from Virginia Tech, Ole Miss, Stanford, Boston College, and Purdue all in the last 2 weeks. Vanderbilt and Georgia lead for his services. He was planning on committing in the next couple weeks, but because he's gotten so many offers recently, he will not do so anymore. Southeast Raleigh dual-threat quarterback Gabriel Henderson has plans to visit Georgia Tech on Wednesday. He is another big-time recruit. He's the actually has plans to visit Tennessee on the 19th as well, and East Carolina he visited last weekend, and he will make his decision known in the next month. So that's another player for everyone in Georgia to watch out for. Another guy to keep an eye on is Missouri defensive end Coney Ealy, who declared Memphis, Missouri, and Georgia Tech his top three last week, And Centennial offensive tackle, who we've had on the show a couple times, David Yankee, received an offer from Clemson last week, visited Athens on Tuesday. He has, however, not narrowed his list down and is going to wait to do so. And finishing up, Hardaway quarterback slash athlete Marcus Smith, who we've talked about a couple times, had on roughly 3 to 4 weeks ago, will be camping at the University of Florida on Monday.
Did you even mention the number one cornerback prospect in the country declaring his intentions to
Milner.
Go to Alabama?
He's from Alabama, though.
DeMarcus Milner.
Yeah.
But
which is a big
Georgia.
Another big pickup.
Yeah, George on the top of the list.
Well, according to the AJC. The official visit disagrees with that one. Apparently he had Georgia and Georgia Tech on that list. But
didn't hear about much about the Georgia Tech.
He didn't visit either place. And I mean, Saban had that guy wrapped up for a good while. But Connor Nolte, a big pickup for the Bulldogs, I think.
Well, I think he's the type of guy with the team you have right now in Athens that could earn a scholarship or could be worthy of a scholarship, and certainly is a hometown guy. And actually, from a recruiting standpoint, you got to watch out for his younger brother, Evan Nolte, who was a freshman last year, helped lead Milton to the finals.
And you also
class 5A.
And you also have to wonder about Noel Johnson, the guy who's going to go play for Tim Floyd out at USC. He's now looking at Georgia as well.
And Georgia Tech.
Which would make a signing class of 12, I think, for the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets.
Well, the Georgia Tech scholarship situation, if they are seriously looking at Johnson and he is looking at them, something's going to have to give there because they're going to have 13 scholarship players. With the addition of Daniel Miller coming over, something's going to have to give if he's seriously looking at picking up the flats.
Let me ask you this, though. How do you turn a guy like Noel Johnson down?
It's tough. I don't know what would have to transpire for him to get to campus. Someone would have to leave. You know, it might be one of those understood situations where someone knows they're not going to get playing time and they go somewhere else.
And that's even if Ghani Lawal decides to leave?
That's the big X factor. If he doesn't decide to leave, if he stays, you got 13 players.
Okay.
If he leaves, you have 12 scholarship players.
That's always one of the toughest things about recruiting is accepting scholarships early or verbal commitments early and you know, not saving space for some of the bigger fishes in the sea, like a Noel Johnson.
And June 15th is the deadline, so Ghani Lawal has to say either in or out, and I believe it's coming up at the end of next week, correct? It's on Friday or Thursday?
You've heard different things either way. Mock drafts seem to have him going anywhere from 12 or 13 to mid-20s. You know, it's tough to say what he's going to do.
What I say, though, his teammate Brandon Boykin, as well as Noel Johnson, the Fayette County Wildcats Fayette County Tigers a couple years ago, went to the state finals. Mark Fox, get both of them on your team. That's all I got
to
say.
We got to get to a quick break. You are listening to Sports Radio 790 The Zone and the official visit.
Here's the lineup.
Here's the fish.
Hey, guys, this is Brian McCann, and I always catch Steak, Domino, and Nick on Mayhem in the AM, mornings from 6 to 11 on 790 The Zone.
IBM Express Advantage.
Hi. I probably shouldn't even be calling. I mean, IBM is so big, and we're a mid-sized business.
Well, we all put our pants on one leg at a time, right? IBM Express Advantage is designed specifically for mid-sized companies.
Really? No, but I can't spend a lot for something complicated.
You might be making a mountain out of a molehill. See, our business partners build custom solutions that won't break the bank. They make things simple.
Nothing simple anymore.
Candy from a baby. Shooting fish in a barrel.
You lost me.
Express Advantage makes things easier, so you can stay cool as a cucumber.
Oh.
There's a huge range of hardware, software, and services designed and priced with you in mind, like a well-fitted suit.
Got an analogy for sign me up?
Actually, we don't.
Oh.
But I found a partner for you.
Oh.
See? Easy as pie. A breeze.
Snap.
Yes. Licking a stamp.
IBM Express Advantage helps mid-sized companies solve tough problems simply. Go to ibm.com/IBM Access or call the concierge at 877-IBM-ACCESS to find the business partner that's right for you.
Get out and play with Club Sport. Atlanta's largest recreational sports league is taking teams now for your favorite sport, including basketball, flag football, softball, soccer, sand volleyball, golf, and cornhole. Don't have a team? Sign up as a free agent. Men's and co-ed divisions play at locations throughout Atlanta. Club Sport is Atlanta's sport and social group with over 10,000 participants each year on 1,200 teams in 120 different leagues. Club Sport also offers Braves, Hawks, Thrashers, and Falcons trips, happy hours, tournaments, and other social events for its players. Club Sport is powered by Michelob Ultra, so after the game, you can visit our friends at Mellow Mushroom, Hudson Grill, Stout Irish Pub, ESPN Zone, Vickery's, and Cheyenne Grill. If you're the hardcore football type, sign up for the 7th Annual NAFA Flag Football National Championships on June 6th and 7th. Teams from around the country will compete for cash prizes.
Summer League registration is going on now at usclubsport.com. Remember, Club Sport is where Atlanta comes to play.
At 790 The Zone, of course we have the national sports scene covered from every angle.
We're talking scandal, we're talking kickback, we're talking news footage of crumbling inner city schools.
But we specialize in Atlanta.
We enrich your very existence.
Local hosts talking local sports each day, every day.
Good, yeah, too good.
Matter of fact.
790 The Zone and 790thezone.com.
We are back on a beautiful Sunday in Atlanta. You are listening to Sports Radio 790 The Zone and the official visit brought to you by Score Atlanta and SouthernPigskin.com. I am Scott the Brain Janovitz, joined as always by Fletcher Proctor and Alex the A-Train Ewalt. Of course, all of us are in agreement, since we do this show every Sunday for 2 hours, that recruiting is the lifeline of most colleges. Just about every good college out there needs to recruit well. And while coaching is important and facilities are important, you get to the top and you stay at the top by recruiting consistently well. And one of the topics I thought would be interesting to discuss this afternoon with you guys is some of the top programs, or traditionally some of the top programs who were once at the top, who now no longer have been able to remain there, you know, whose level of consistency, whose level of recruiting has dropped in the last couple of years. And I wanted to hear from you guys who you thought, you know, which program has fallen the farthest from graces and doesn't look like they'll return that to that point in the near future. And we'll kick it off with Alex. Who's your school, your big-time program, who was once a dynasty, if you will, who just, you know, can't quite get things together anymore and probably won't for the foreseeable future?
Well, I think one of the programs I'm looking at, maybe not a dynasty, but definitely one of the premier programs in the country for at least a 10-15-year run is Washington. Had some great 90s teams. And you know, people are excited with the hiring of Steve Sarkisian. People, obviously, they hit an absolute nadir last year, losing 12 games, going winless. But this is a program that I think just, you know, it's pretty bleak prospects for getting back to that point. You look at the Pac-10 and what it was when they were having their great years. Programs like USC, even the your Oregon and other programs like that were down. The Pac-10 was just not a potent conference in that time. Especially USC had about 15 years where they were just kind of off the map. Well, that's changed now. They're the premier the team in the country as far as recruiting, especially, and having that talent year in and year out. And Washington, especially considering their weak recruiting base, I don't think that's a program that's going to come back anytime soon.
No, and your example couldn't be any better, because you look at a guy like, I mean, during their prime, a guy like Rick Neuheisel, who was a great recruiter.
Don James was like the coach that put the Huskies on the map. But yes, Neuheisel, I'll give you that.
And got in trouble for some of his recruiting.
Even called it the dream job. You know, that's a sleeping giant up there. Ty Willingham just drove it into the ground, put into a deep slumber.
I actually do think they'll be back.
They will be back.
I like Sarkisian. I like what they do up there. I think.
Well, if he can recruit, then that changes everything. I mean, but where do you go? Where do you get the? It seems like California has got enough talent. Is Washington going to get it though?
Right.
Are they going to get the overflow?
They got to compete with
Cal.
They're
not going to get from the Pacific Northwest. It doesn't exist.
They've got some. Seattle's got some talent up there. You saw Jake Heaps. It would have been nice if they could have kept him. He instead decided to go over to BYU. Actually announced that earlier this week. Of course, Jake Heaps is a Mormon, so BYU had the inside track there. I will agree with you, though, on former USC assistants who have gone on to start their own program. Tennessee is one of those programs that I think at one point, when Fulmer was there with Chavis and David Cutcliffe before he left to go be Ole Miss's head coach, they had it rocking there, okay? That with Peyton Manning there, they won the title with T. Martin. But then David Cutcliffe went off to Ole Miss, didn't do so hot as a head coach, went back to Tennessee. I think his 1 year there, they went to the SEC title game, then left to go be the head man at Duke. And you saw when David Cutcliffe is not there, Phil Fulmer started to slip. John Chavis' defense were always solid, but they didn't have anything on the offensive side. I think that's one of those things where, no disrespect to David Cutcliffe, I know he's a friend of the station, but at some point you just have to realize what you are, and that's a good offensive coordinator. Because Duke, let's admit, they're never going to win more than, what, six games? But those three, when they were together, that dream team, if you were, of Tennessee football, had Tennessee going.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Lane Kiffin's going to be able to get him back.
The incredible thing about Tennessee, and you're right, I mean, they were as big a national power, especially when you're talking about recruiting, as any school in the country. And the interesting thing about Tennessee is they're forced to recruit nationally, and that's something that's not hard to do. And so the fact that they were able to sustain that level of success recruiting nationally and not being able to just sit at home in Tennessee and cherry pick because of the lack of talent was really incredible. I'm not convinced that Lane Kiffin won't be able to return them to that level. I'm not convinced he's a great X's and O's coach. I'm not convinced he'll necessarily have a ton of success.
Yeah, as far as recruiting, they're down right now.
As far as recruiting goes, though, I mean, to come in and get a top 10 class, at least according to Rivals.com, with only a couple months to work was really an incredible feat by that staff. And they got Bryce Brown, the top recruit in the country. My school's Miami. This is a school that's won five national championships between 1983 and 2001. Last year they had the 15th ranked recruiting class in the country. They signed 19 kids. Eight of them were from out of state. You never saw Miami doing that in their heyday. They would sit at home in South Florida and get the two, the three, the four, and the five-star guys. All of them would end up panning out, and that school is an absolute dynasty. And I did a little research. If you look over the last 4 years, between 2006 and 2008, they signed four five-star recruits, okay? You know how many the University of Florida, who's their most obvious competition in the state, signed over that?
Same for
a lot more.
15. 15. I mean, that is incredible. So they are clearly have fallen off the recruiting map. And listen, I don't see them getting back there. I mean, when you look at the fact they don't have a stadium, they don't have a stadium on campus, they have no money from their boosters. What does a school like University of Miami sell other than we were good 10 years ago?
What are they going to sell? Well, after they push Randy Shannon out the door after this season and hire Tommy Tuberville, they'll be able to recruit again because Tommy Tuberville takes those guys in. You saw what he did at Auburn. With Alabama being the head school there, much like Florida will be the head school in the state of Florida, he's going to be able to go in there, put a solid program together, and he is going to pass Jimbo Fisher at Florida State and be the dominant ACC school in that conference.
I already mentioned the stadium, the fact that they don't have fan support, right? I mean, they barely sell out their big games, and they'd never sell out the mediocre to small games.
Well,
and here's the other problem
with the Orange Bowl, too. I mean, that was a major gripe for fans and people in the area.
Well, and here's the other thing. The way recruiting's heading, it's become such a glitz and glamour sport, if you will. I mean, when you see what Auburn's doing, picking up limos and just the idea of building these extravagant facilities, if you look at what Oregon built in the last couple of years, I mean, the opportunities they provide recruits is incredible. And listen, the fact of the matter is Miami doesn't have the boosters to compete.
The right coach gets them right back in it, and the right coach is just not there right now.
I got to agree with Flip on this one. I think they're sitting in that hotbed of talent. I don't think even when they did in the last maybe 5 or 6 years get the talent, it wasn't developed. It wasn't developed correctly, as evidenced by a team that put one NFL player in the last draft in the sixth round.
Yeah, they'd sent a player
14 straight
14
years
15,
of first
yeah.
round picks,
which is an incredible run.
They've had the talent over the last decade. It hadn't always been developed. I think it's a coaching thing.
But I mean, when I tell you
put the right coach in there, Miami is right.
When I tell you, because listen, Randy Shannon is as good a recruiter. Is there? I mean, the guy is a great recruiter and has incredible – I mean, he's been there forever, so there's nobody they're going to get that has better relationships in South Florida than Randy Shannon. And when I tell you they got – of their 19 signees, 8 were from out of state last year, I mean, what does that say? They're simply – they don't have the stranglehold over South Florida that they once did.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but how about the last two coaches? I mean, once Butch Davis left, obviously Larry Coker came in and won the title with Butch Davis's players, came within a bad pass interference call of winning a second title. But the players kind of said, we want Larry Coker. And then when Larry Coker left, didn't the players say, we want Randy Shannon? At some point, if you're the AD, do you stop listening to the players who will be gone in 3 years? And do you think, wait, for our university, this guy would be the best? Let's go outside the program if need be. I mean, at some point, stop listening to the players and do your job.
Well, yeah, and here's my other problem, and I've mentioned this not on this show but on another show in the past, and that is for how long can you promote within the program? I mean, conceivably, in a realistic world, how can you possibly believe that you have 3 to 4 true head coaches on one coaching staff? I mean, you had Butch Davis, Larry Coker, and Randy Shannon all on the same staff. What made you think that you had 3 top-notch head coaches all on the same staff? That's just not realistic. That's never has that been. I mean, who does
that? I would agree with that.
Go out and get the top coach in the country. The problem is they don't have the money to do it.
If you are Miami, if you are who you think you are, go out there and get that coach.
And listen, they're sitting, as you guys have said and argued against me, with the main argument is that where they're sitting is clutch, and it is. Sitting in South Florida is huge, which is why I think they'll be, competing for ACC championships every other year or every year. I don't think they'll ever be the top program they once were because they just don't have the money. They don't have the campus. They don't have the stadium. They just don't have it.
Here's
they don't have what Florida,
here's where I disagree
USC,
with you. I will point at what Florida State did for so many years, which is go undefeated in an ACC conference and be in that national title game, be in that BCS picture
Florida
every
State's
year.
Florida State's got moolah.
But, well, Miami, it doesn't matter. If they go undefeated in the ACC, Ohio State does it for, what, two straight years? They go undefeated against a crappy conference, and boom, they're right in the title game over a one-loss SEC school.
And Miami did it in the Big East for years as well. And I look at upward mobility as well here. The ACC, if you win your games, I think you can at least get yourself in the conversation for a national title and a BCS bowl every year. As far as the Pac-10, I guess going back to Washington, how much upward mobility is there in the Pac-10 right now? You got programs with a lot of momentum. Arizona, Oregon State, those are programs that
Stanford.
Are Stanford, of course. Those are programs that are improving their status every year, it seems.
Just knock off the big bully on the street corner, which is the USC Trojans, and then you'll be there.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Just got to do that.
Said than done.
We got to get to a quick break. We will come back with Brookstone tight end Brian Vogler. You are listening to The Official Visit on Sports Radio 790 The Zone.
The Two Live Stews.
The place where the players play.
David Robinson.
Your junior year, you were 5'9" in high school?
That was ninth grade. 10th grade, I was about 6'1", and 11th grade, I was about 6'4". And then I got up to about 6'7½" my senior year.
You had some hellified growth spurts, man.
Yeah, I had one consistent growth spurt for about 5 straight years.
Weekdays 1 to 4 on 790 The Zone.
All right, we're over here. The Whopper sandwich is America's favorite burger and has been for years. Now, is it a dynasty or what?
You guys and your labels. Look, all I know is as a Burger King employee, when I make a Whopper, it feels like I'm part of something special.
Question, CK, how's the team looking this year?
In a word, fast. Serving Whopper sandwiches, 2 for $3 on Wednesday. That takes a lot of speed.
Simple strategy?
Look, we're going to take it one Whopper at a time. We're not going to get ahead of ourselves this year.
So do you feel pressure about being the champs?
Nope. We've got the winning formula, the flame broiled burger. Lettuce, tomato, some fans like onions. It's made your way right away. Two Whopper sandwiches for just $3? That's just unbeatable. All right, guys, enough questions. All right, it's game time. I'm back on the line.
Flame broiled beef served your way. Come get two of America's favorite burger for only $3 on Wednesday. Only at Burger King. Limited time only. Price and participation may vary.
The sausage biscuit cheesy bacon BK wrapper on the BK breakfast value menu. With 10 items starting at just a buck each, it's a tasty way to save some green. Only at Burger King. Price and participation may vary.
It's the Walgreens All-Star Football Camp, presented by France All-Pro Athlete Management. For kids ages 8 to 18, hosted at Holy Innocents. To win tickets, listen to Sports Radio 790 The Zone or stop by participating Walgreens locations. The Walgreens All-Star Football Camp is brought to you by Pepsi, Fan Stamp, Color Shock, Pedia-Pop, Zions, Monster, PC Treasures, Hero, and RBM of Atlanta. That's the Walgreens All-Star Football Camp, sponsored by Walgreens, the pharmacy America trusts.
Faster than a rabbit's foot, more powerful than a four-leaf clover, able to leap small leprechauns in a single bound.
It's not a goose.
It's not a jet.
It's Super Lucky 7-Man.
Help, I'm really stressed out and I need a vacation.
Vacation? Back to work.
Have no fear, ma'am. Super Lucky 7-Man is here. Let that stress wash away on a tropical shore.
Woo! Surf's up!
Hang 10, dear lady.
Help, Super Lucky 7-Man. My car stalled out. I'm on my way to a meeting.
Have no fear. I'll get you to your meeting with time to spare.
A new sports car? Thanks, Super Lucky 7-Man.
Easy on the gas, good citizen.
Play Super Lucky 7s, the new instant game from the Georgia Lottery with a chance to win up to $777,777. Super Lucky 7s from the Georgia Lottery. Today could be the day.
Georgia Lottery's weekly windfall. 10 weekly winners will win $5,000, and all tickets purchased will be entered in the $1 million final drawing. Visit GALottery.com for details.
We're back, talking with Max Q. Bunsen, rocket scientist. So what's the big picture on the rocket biz, Max?
Bob, rocket science is utterly incomprehensible. Nothing like getting state minimum coverage for less from Safe Auto. And you gotta have coverage, Bob. That part's pretty easy.
Safe Auto? Max, I don't get it.
Don't see why not, Bob. It isn't exactly rocket science.
You gotta have coverage, you wanna save money. Call 1-800-SAFE-AUTO and do both. Safe Auto. It's the right thing to do.
Play it safe, Safe Auto.
Club 790 is getting a makeover, and you can reap the benefits. All Club 790 members are now official 790 MVPs. 790 MVPs only can register to win a trip to Watercolor, a coastal resort on Florida's beautiful Emerald Coast. Now through June 5th, enjoy a three-night stay in either a three-bedroom vacation home or condo at the Watercolor Inn. Watercolor Resort offers everything you need to paint the perfect vacation and win this $3,000 vacation giveaway courtesy of Watercolor Resort. Blackout dates apply.
Pollock and Bell.
Lauren, what's coming up on Pollock and Bell?
That's a great question, Larry. Mike Bell's filling in for Pollock.
What?
No, Steve Weiss is filling in for Pollock. Dennis Scott's going to set his package on Big Bag Eyes. West Dumb, Dave Archer, Big Week.
You're an idiot.
Afternoons from 4 to 7 on 790 The Zone.
We are back on Sports Radio 790 The Zone. You are listening to The Official Visit, brought to you by Score Atlanta and SouthernPigskin.com. I am Scott Janovitz, joined by Fletcher Proctor and Alex Ewalt. We have Brookstone tight end Brian Vogler on the line right now, so we're going to jump into that interview. Brian, are you there?
Hey.
How's it going, Brian?
It's going good.
I hope you didn't listen to, or maybe you did listen to our previous segment, but we talked about Miami quite a bit, And I went on to say that, at least on the recruiting front, they've been struggling lately. I also know that you have specific interest in the University of Miami, considering you have some family ties to the school. Talk a little bit about Miami and why you're interested in them and what you like about that school specifically.
Well, I mean, like you said, I've got some family down there. Pretty much my entire dad's side of the family lives in Miami. Pretty much the big thing about Miami is, if you want to be a tight end and you want to make it big, I'm pretty sure Miami's been pretty successful with that lately, with all those tight ends they're producing.
Yeah, you mentioned playing tight end, and I know that's the position most schools are recruiting you out. I have seen you play, however, and I can't help but wonder, at 6'7", 248 pounds, what kind of left tackle you could potentially be. Has that thought ever crossed your mind, and are there any schools out there recruiting you as a left tackle?
Well, some schools have said it, and once they said it, I sort of crossed them off the list.
So that's a deal breaker for you then. You're set on playing the tight end position at the next level.
Yeah, I feel like I've proven myself as a tight end, and I'm getting recruited as a tight end. I'm going to stick with it, and I'm having fun at the position. That's the major thing. You want to have fun.
Brian, Alex Ewalt here. Talk about your experiences with Auburn. I know you visited over there. What was your recruitment like with them so far? They've been in the headlines a lot bringing a limo around. But what do you think about them and how they recruited you?
I haven't really talked to them lately. I went to their junior day, and that was about the last time I've talked to them. I think that was in March. They're a good school. It's just one of those things, like new staff coming in. You just got to see how this next upcoming season goes. Everybody can't wait to see him play. That's just a major thing for me. I don't really know that much about all the offense stuff they're bringing in. It's just going to be really interesting to watch them this season.
Yeah, Brian, kind of going back to what Alex referenced, Gene Chizik has brought in a lot of glitz and glamour to the recruiting process. Of course, he mentioned the limo and other various recruiting techniques that they may not have concentrated as much on the school as they did impressing recruits. Is that something that you were impressed by, the whole limo charade and all that stuff, or do you not really pay attention to any of that?
No, I didn't really pay attention to that. It's a limo is not going to make or break a decision.
Going back over the last couple of years, it looks like your junior year you had about 21 catches, 6 touchdowns. You averaged about 21 yards a catch. The year before, as a sophomore, you're averaging 21 yards a catch. You're a big play threat. How does that? Are you looking at a certain type of offense at the next level? Maybe one that emphasizes the tight end, or are you going to be happy possibly with Auburn at a spread or Miami if they're playing more of a spread with their quarterback?
I'd like to stick to like a traditional pro style offense, somewhere where they utilize like a true tight end. Someone that can block and catch for him. Right now I'm in the wing tee, so we just use like whatever we can, whether it be me splitting out or me just lining up in the tight end position. But I think definitely a traditional pro style is the main offense I'm looking for.
Now, we always fall in love with the tight ends that catch the ball and run for touchdowns and whatnot. Jermaine Gresham, obviously, for Oklahoma last year. But there's also the tight ends that get out there that take a real sense of pride with their blocking skills. Do you consider yourself the all-around tight end? Do you prefer catching the ball, or do you like running plays as well where you can go in and knock a linebacker on his back?
I'd like to say all-around because, you always want to be the guy that does the big play, or you always want to be the guy that gets the big hit, whether it be going after a linebacker or sealing off the edge on a sweep play or just going deep and trying to jump with somebody. Because, at 6'7", you're not going to find that many tall corners that are going to be up there with me.
Yeah, you do present size matchup problems.
Yeah, you're listening to the official visit on Sports Radio 790 The Zone. We are talking to Brookstone tight end Brian Vogler. Brian, you've mentioned a couple of different times that you have good relationships with Kirby Smart over at Alabama and Tommy Robinson from Miami. Talk a little bit about those two coaches individually and how important having a good relationship with coaches like that is going to play, how important that's going to be in your decision-making process.
Both the coaches talked to them a good bit. A major thing, no matter where you go, you want to have a good relationship with the coaches because, that's the people you're going to be with for anywhere to 3 to 5 years. That's just a major thing. Just really connecting with the coaches, and with those coaches, I feel like I have connected with them. I do know them a little bit better than some of these other coaches out there. It plays a big role in just really getting to know the people that you're going to be with.
Brian, what other schools sort of are catching your eye? We've talked about Alabama. We've talked about Miami. Where are you planning on taking visits? Who else are you interested in?
I'm going to visit Alabama tomorrow after we have football practice. And then on Friday I'm leaving for Oklahoma. And then next Friday I'm going to LSU. And I'm just going to try to get around to these top couple of schools I've narrowed it down to.
Brian, from just talking with you here from the last couple minutes, it seems like you're talking about going to either Miami or LSU or Auburn or Alabama, and not a lot of love for the in-state schools. Is it just that you're not a big fan of Georgia Tech, or you just are really interested in the idea of leaving the state? Or what's your mindset in terms of going out of state versus in-state?
For Georgia and Georgia Tech, I don't have an offer from either of the schools. That's going to play a big thing. If I'm getting offered by other schools that want me to go there and play football for them, then there'll be more interest there than opposed to being a preferred walk-on somewhere else. That's just a major thing. It's nothing like wanting to get away or anything like that. It's just...
I got you. Where you want to give a little love where you're getting the love from, right?
Yes, sir.
Naturally. In a couple of the previous reports you've done on the recruiting networks, you've alluded to the stress of the recruiting process. Talk about the process in general, what you've liked and disliked, and overall, are you kind of looking forward to getting it over with?
It's a fun ride. I think it started off the sophomore or the summer between sophomore and junior year. I got my first notice. I met Joker Phillips in a hotel and gave him my tape, and it all started up from there. It's been a lot of fun getting to go to these schools, visit them, meet the coaches. It's like nothing I would have expected 2 years ago. I never thought I could be at a level like this, getting to meet all these people, just getting interest from schools like this. Getting mail every single week, like 100 pieces of mail a week, emails, phone ringing off the hook. It gets pretty hectic, but I mean, once your list gets a little bit smaller, it just keeps on getting easier and a lot easier to deal with. I mean, as of right now, it's still pretty crazy, but it's definitely a lot easier from where it was, I'd say, like right after football season ended.
Yeah, we're finishing up with Brookstone tight end Brian Vogler. One last question, Brian. What are your summer plans, and what's your timetable for making a commitment?
As for the plans, I mean, I'm going to try to get around to as many schools as I can, just to meet the people, see the campus. That's the major thing for the summer, but the major thing actually is just focusing on the season. Senior year, team's looking good. Just want to focus on that. But as for a timetable, it all really depends on how comfortable I am with the decision. Hopefully it'll be between August and September. That's what I'm shooting for right now, but it's all just, like I said, just how I feel about the situation.
Hey, listen, Brian, we got to let you go, but we appreciate you taking the time out on a Sunday to join to talk with us, and we wish you the best of luck moving forward.
Safe travels, too.
All right.
Thank you. That was Brian Vogler of Brookstone High School. We got to get to a quick break. You are listening to the official visit on Sports Radio 790 The Zone.
Mayhem in the AM.
How do you follow up one of Mayhem's best shows ever with Andre Rison and Tom Glavine live in studio? You do a killer Monday. Former Governor Jesse Ventura, Joe Cox of the Bulldogs, and Tommy Hansen. Don't miss Monday's Mayhem.
Morning 6 to 11, only on 790 The Zone
and 790thezone.com.
Kobe and the Lakers took the Magic to school in Game 1. Now Orlando looks to regroup and steal home court in Game 2. Coverage begins tonight at 7:30 Eastern on ABC.
Stakey here with GoGo in-flight internet, now on select flights in and out of Atlanta. Set up your GoGo account before you fly by logging on to GoGoInFlight.com. Visit GoGoInFlight.com today.
Department stores are robbing people every day, so we thought we'd teach them a lesson and rob them back.
Department store, how can I help you?
I have your mannequin.
You what?
Your mannequin. I have your mannequin. If you want to see him again, I need $1 million in unmarked bills.
Did you say mannequin?
I don't want to hurt him, but I will if I have to.
Which mannequin?
The one from Men's Activewear with the handsome features and plastic hair.
Sir, I'm going to have to transfer you to customer service. Please hold.
Come on.
Don't let department stores rob you anymore. Shop at K&G, where you'll get the same brands at up to 60% less. K&G, fashion without the victim. Right now, celebrate this Father's Day with K&G and get men's Beverly Hills Polo Club polos and twill pants, two for $25, regularly $14.99 each.
Hi, stud. Welcome to the Cheetah Hotline. And what do you want to talk about tonight?
I've never done this before, but I'd like to talk about the Bud Light Lime Battle of the Cheetah Girls, if that's okay with you.
Oh, yes! The 2009 Bud Light Lime Battle of the Cheetah Girls is Wednesday, June 17th at 8 p.m. Join Mike Bell as he navigates you through seven tantalizing acts featuring the creativity of some of Atlanta's hottest Cheetah Girls.
Now, how much is it?
$4 before 7 p.m. and $10 after. For more details, log on to thecheetah.com or call 404-892-3037. Is there anything else I can do to service you tonight?
Oh, tell me again.
It's the Bud Light Lime Battle of the Cheetah Girls, Wednesday, June 17th at 8 p.m. on the main stage at the Cheetah.
Club 790 is getting a makeover, and you can reap the benefits. All Club 790 members are now official 790 MVPs. 790 MVPs only can register to win a trip to Watercolor, a coastal resort on Florida's beautiful Emerald Coast. Now through June 5th, enjoy a three-night stay in either a three-bedroom vacation home or condo at the Watercolor Inn. Watercolor Resort offers everything you need. need to paint the perfect vacation and win this $3,000 vacation giveaway courtesy of Watercolor Resort. Blackout dates apply.
Atlanta sports fans get punched in the stomach again.
This report just in that Tom Glavine has been released by Atlanta.
It actually is right. He had a meeting down there with the hierarchy. That was kind of what came out of this whole thing.
And we're there for the fallout.
Everyone that saw him had the same evaluation, that the stuff he was getting hitters out with would not allow him to be successful at the major league level.
Including taking calls until 10 p.m. that night.
Yeah, I'm a lifelong Braves fan, and I just know that Tom Glavine put a reason to be a Braves fan forever.
Glavine left the Braves 3 or 4 years ago, and of all teams he picked, he didn't pick the Blue Jays, he picked the Mets.
Tom Glavine was definitely the reason why people became Braves fans again.
790 The Zone, first for Atlanta sports fans.
We are back on Sports Radio 790 The Zone. You are listening to The Official Visit, brought to you by Score Atlanta and SouthernPigskin.com. I'm Scott Janovitz, joined as always with Doc Prock, Fletcher Proctor, and Alex the A-Train Ewalt. I don't know what we're listening to right now.
The E-Train.
This is a nice little beat.
It's more of that hip-hop, Scott.
We have Aqua Blues Brian Longacre waiting on the line, so we're gonna bring him on right now. Brian, can you hear us?
Yeah, absolutely. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon to you. So tell us a little bit about Aqua Blue, what specials you guys are running this week, and what people should be looking forward to at your restaurant.
All right, excellent. Well, yesterday we just did a cooking demonstration at the Riverside Farmers Market. It's a new feature here in Roswell, and it turned out really well. We did about 300 people, and we did a little sushi demonstration over there. But this month we're featuring cold water lobster tails from Maine. And if you haven't had a lobster tail on a wood fire grill before, you're missing out. So we grill the lobster tails, and then we give you three different sauces to top them with. We do a lemon and garlic butter. We do a mango and pineapple salsa, and then a beer barbecue sauce, which is my favorite. And then we serve that with locally grown redskin potatoes and some corn on the cob. And it's awesome, and we're featuring that every day, starting at 4 o'clock through the month of June.
And speaking of every day, you've got daily happy hour specials going on the lounge because it's nice weather outside, right?
Absolutely, yeah. On Mondays, we offer $5 mojitos and half-price appetizers. Tuesdays, we do $1 sashimi and $1 nigiri and half-price sushi rolls and $3 Japanese beers. Wednesday, we got our ladies' night out. Everything's $5 for the ladies that come in. And then, of course, Thursday's our big night. We've got our live dance band, the American Flyers, here. We do free hors d'oeuvres all night, and it's a good time.
And that's why Alex has been up to Aqua Blue a couple times on Thursdays recently.
Well, I noticed the singles night. You talk a little bit more about that, what I could expect if I come up there.
Well, the singles night, we do the complimentary hors d'oeuvres from 5:30 to 7:30. The dance band starts about 7:45, and it's a great people-watching crowd. I mean, the crowd is very diverse. Week to week, it kind of changes, but there'll be anywhere from 100 to 300 people in our lounge that evening.
Yeah, none of them looking for Alex, I can promise you that.
Especially if he doesn't shave like he showed up to do the show today.
Tell people where they can find you.
You can reach us at 770-643-8886, and we're conveniently located off of exit 7 off of 400. We're at 1564 Holcomb Bridge Road here in Roswell, and just give me a call, and we'll take good care of you. And Fletcher, by the way,
yeah, man,
you can't miss the wine festival at the end of the month on the 26th.
That's coming up in like
you're confusing Fletcher
like
with me,
weeks.
Scott. I'm the one who's never been to your restaurant but is obsessed with wine. I got to be there. The 26th?
Yeah, well, absolutely. Yeah, the 26th, we're doing the summer wine festival. We're unveiling 12 of our new wines, and we're matching them up with 12 appetizers. We got live Motown on the patio, and we have two local artists that are going to be displaying some artwork. So,
well,
that
Scott,
be a great
that's
time.
Got my name
Scott
written all over
I can
it.
Go, and Alex can drive us back. How about that?
There you go.
All right, man. AquaBlueATL.com is the website. Brian Longacre, thanks for coming on the show, Brian.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. You have a great day.
You too.
Thank you.
That was Brian Longacre from AquaBlueATL.
Still
Aqua Blue
have yet
ATL.
To go. I got to make
We're
going
to go on that wine.
Absolutely.
12 glasses of wine.
Count me in. Plus Motown? I mean,
hey,
kidding
now.
Me? Motown's the best. You can't find good Motown these days.
You know
Motown,
what else,
a little
you know what else,
wine.
You know what we should do? We should, like, do the show from the wine tasting.
I'm in. Although, about an hour into that show, we might start going slowly downhill, I have a feeling.
Well, I don't think it's like a full glass of wine.
Well, maybe you don't know. I could be a lightweight. Okay. Maybe a half glass. Good.
I'm sure there's some sort of topic about recruiting we need to talk about.
Absolutely. Right, well, we spend so much time talking about recruiting from the college perspective and how it impacts colleges in general.
Talk about high school recruiting?
We rarely talk about the high school or recruiting on the high school level, which happens all the time but is highly, highly, highly illegal. Well, the state of Georgia just passed a new law that I think is going to make it a lot easier for coaches and kids to recruit other kids to their schools. And what it is, it's HB 251. And the law says that you can now transfer to schools within your school zone, but you can now transfer whatever school you want, basically, as opposed to – or which is in your county, right? But as opposed to the ones that were just in your school zone. And they're also considering taking out the rule which said if you do transfer, you have to sit out a year from that sport. So they're now going to allow kids to transfer basically to whatever school they want without having to sit out. And if you ask me, that just opens up free reign for recruiting. I mean, that's a slippery slope.
You're going to get to see the haves versus the have-nots in a big way, because all the powerhouse schools, especially in Gwinnett, you know, why are you going to go play for, I'm not going to say the name of a bad school in Gwinnett, but why would you go play for them when you can go and play for Parkview? Why would you go and play for them when you can go to Brookwood?
Right. I mean, it's basically making this college recruiting. It's allowing high schools, I mean, though it's still illegal to recruit, now that they've brought it out into the open, it kind of is giving more free rein. And here's my question: will it be easier or harder to recruit? Because now that you're open about it, about where you're transferring, and the schools and the board, the state board is gonna, you know, get that information, as opposed to it being kind of under the blanket, hidden. Maybe it'll be easier to regulate.
Well, as far as recruiting actual, you know, coaches making contact with players, it's still going to be highly illegal, although almost completely untrackable.
Yeah, I was going to say, how can you even track?
As far as a coach coming to a kid, and it becomes a he said, she said, it really does, and it's hard for the GHSA to prove anything.
But
as far as it was always contact between coaches and players,
it was always untrackable. But when a kid moved houses to go to a new school, well, you could kind of assume, or you could at least something. There was some smoke there, right? I mean, you knew. Hey, listen, this kid's transferring to from a mediocre basketball program to a great one out of his school district. Something's a little fishy. Now that's allowed, and so you're combining everyone into one big group, and you can't differentiate between who's moving for sports, who's moving for academics. I mean, how can you possibly gauge what's going on anymore?
Right. And like Fletcher said, there are certain programs in the state that are going to attract kids, whether it's because they have a high-profile coach, they've got good tradition, they've got good facilities. Now it's just going to make it easier for those kids that inevitably are going to want to transfer there to matriculate there. As far as the recruiting thing, yeah, you said, there's smoke, there's fire. However, I don't think it's going to make it any easier to prove or track illegal recruiting. It's just going to make it easier for the kids who want to transfer to a certain school to be able to do it. Now, they're going to get there faster, and that school is going to become more powerful faster.
Here's one thing I will say, though. As much as it's going to hurt the regular season in high school football, it's going to make the playoffs 5,000 times better.
Right.
You're literally going to have the all-star, basically the Gwinnett all-stars versus the Cobb all-stars versus the South Georgia all-stars. And that's not a problem for me.
No, I listen, as a fan, but listen, what's morally right and what's fun for a fan aren't always the same thing. I mean, I was at the Braves game last night, and it was a joke. Watching us get four hits a night after getting two hits was so painful, it made me hope or wish that everyone on the field was taking steroids, because I don't care. It's more fun, and this is the same concept. I mean, sure, it's illegal to recruit in the high school game, but if you put all the stars on one team from a fan's perspective— you know, sure, that's going to be more fun. My question is, what was the school board thinking when they came up with this rule? I mean,
I have no idea what the school board was thinking.
Logically, what could they possibly have thought this would help? In what way is this beneficial?
Well, I guess what they're saying,
unless you're a high school basketball,
away from a kid being suspended for a year or
well, no, but see, here's the thing: they haven't passed that law yet. What they've passed is that you can transfer to any school you want. It's assumed, and everyone's afraid of the fact that they are going to pass the law also that says you no longer have to sit out. Which, by the way, I am for. I don't. If it's found that you have transferred for all the right reasons, Why should you have to miss a year?
I'd agree with
Why would
that
you have
too.
To sit out? Why would you take a year of, eligibility when a high school athlete, a 16-year-old?
Heaven forbid, obviously, you don't want to talk about it, but say your parents get divorced and you are the best-rated quarterback in the county. So you and your mom move into an apartment somewhere. It just so happens that's the school district somewhere else. Why should that kid have to sit out because his parents got a divorce? I don't see that.
No, I agree. It's crazy. I mean,
now going to live with your aunt is a little different.
But now you can do all that without anyone questioning you. And so they've opened up. I mean, they've essentially opened up free reign. I mean, you can transfer wherever you want. I think it's to me. I can't for the life of me figure out why they would ever have done this.
I think one thing it possibly could hurt is if a kid is a little bit upset about playing time, if they're upset with the coach, if they have any sort of gripe or feel it's not
transfer?
The right situation, you just transfer.
But
Oh, no, not at all, because okay. it's gonna create so much movement. I think that's going to be one of the byproducts. Hey, I didn't get as much playing time in a couple games. Well, next year I can just take my services to the school down the road or across the county.
And what a bad lesson to teach our kids.
Absolutely. I think it's going to be it could potentially create a lot of chaos.
When the going gets tough, pick up and leave. I mean, seriously, it's not just sports. In all of life, you're going to find someone who works maybe a little bit harder than you and is a little bit better at what you do, you know? And the result of that is I'm going to work a little bit harder than I previously was.
Is
I'm going to get better.
Is that what it is, though? Or is it a chance of they don't run the system I want to run? I want to go somewhere else. Somebody like Storm Johnson, who went from Buford, where he's going to win a state title, he's going over to Loganville because that runs an offense that he wants to run it.
Well, I don't know if that was the exact. I mean, I think his parents.
We had him on the show.
Had reasons. Yeah, but he didn't say that.
He said he's happier about Loganville's.
Well, sure,
offense.
Because he's going to get the ball 25 times a game. But the fact of the matter is, his parents moved. Still, the last thing we want is a mass exodus of kids transferring schools because they're not happy where they are. I mean, the fact of the matter is, growing up, we had to go to a certain school. That's just what you were zoned for, a school. You went there and you made the best of it, okay? I went to Lyman High School in Orlando, or my family did. I didn't. And you know, it wasn't the greatest school in Florida. In fact, it was one of the worst. But
maybe,
you know what?
Maybe if you had been better at basketball, you could have transferred.
I could have transferred. No, I didn't go to Lyman. I went to a prep school. The point is, my brother and sister did. And hey, listen, it worked out well for them. It wasn't the best school, but they made the best of it, and it was a good lesson for them to learn.
Well, I think in this situation, you don't have parity in Georgia high school sports. You see the haves and the have-nots, and it's very obvious. I think that's just going to exacerbate the problem.
Yeah, we got to get to a quick break, but we will be right back with Chad Simmons of Scout.com. You are listening to The Official Visit on Sports Radio 790 The Zone.
Trying to save a buck or two? Visit 790 The Zone's Double Rewards program, where you can double your money, only on 790thezone.com.
Kobe and the Lakers took the magic to school in Game 1. Now Orlando looks to regroup and steal home court in Game 2. Coverage begins tonight at 7:30 Eastern on ABC.
Fripp Island is South Carolina's most beautiful barrier island resort. A nature preserve located just outside of Hilton Head. Beach run houses, 2 4-star golf courses. Save 20% on all accommodations now through Labor Day. Go to FrippIslandResort.com.
Guys, you should listen to the expert on romance, Barnsley Gardens Resort's fairy godmother.
I'm sure you've just spent the entire weekend watching sports and barely paying any attention to your significant other. Shame on you. Well, your tip for the day is book a weekday night at Barnsley Gardens Resort. Cozy accommodations, fireplaces, lots of activities, and there's no need to tell her there's a big screen in the cottages.
Every guy needs a fairy godmother, so listen to yours at BarnsleyResort.com.
You've heard it before. Go, there's nothing stopping you, and AirTran Airways means it, especially when you're sitting back and relaxing, much the way you can in the great AirTran Airways brand-new jumbo jet, and enjoy all of the away team interviews that are rich and personal right here on AirTran Airways Hardball, heard on 790 The Zone. My name is Chris D'Amino, and here's what's going to happen all season long. I'll be sitting down with some of the biggest stars in baseball as they fly into Atlanta and play our hometown team. It's a real treat when you get a chance to potentially be talking with a Hall of Famer or an icon of America's pastime. And AirTran Airways flyaways over the course of the season will be included. Your chance to fly away to see the hometown baseball team play on top of that. Don't forget, away team interviews courtesy of our friends at AirTran Airways all season long here on 790 The Zone at 790thezone.com. You know what I say, go, there's nothing stopping you. And with AirTran Airways, boy, do they prove it every day. More flights than anybody else, more on-time flights than anybody else in a brand new fleet. That's AirTran Airways. They're doing it bigger and better than everybody else, and you can actually sit back, relax, enjoy both AirTran Airways and AirTran Airways flyaway team interviews. Rich and personal, just the way AirTran Airways treats you.
Department stores are robbing people every day, so we thought we'd teach them a lesson and rob them back.
Department store, how can I help you?
I have your mannequin.
You what?
Your mannequin. I have your mannequin. If you want to see him again, I need $1 million in unmarked bills.
Did you say mannequin?
I don't want to hurt him, but I will if I have to.
Which mannequin?
The one from Men's Activewear with the handsome features and plastic hair.
Sir, I'm going to have to transfer you to customer service. Please hold.
Come on.
Don't let department stores rob you anymore. Shop at K&G, where you'll get the same brands at up to 60% less. K&G. Fashion without the victim. Right now, celebrate this Father's Day with K&G and get men's Beverly Hills Polo Club polos and twill pants, two for $25, regularly $14.99 each.
It's time to play.
Football always lives here.
That's Dwyer slipping away. He drives for the end zone. Did he get in? The Diesel's got another touchdown.
First for football, 790 The Zone.
We are back on a beautiful Sunday at Sports Radio 790 The Zone. You are listening to the official visit, Georgia, or what you say, the South's only all-recruiting radio show. I am Scott Janovitz, joined in the studio with Fletcher Proctor and Alex Ewalt. We have Scout.com's Chad Simmons on the line, so we are going to start that interview right now. Chad, can you hear us?
I can hear you fine. Sounds good.
How's your Sunday going so far, Chad?
It's going good. Just getting another week started, prepping for what's going to go on this week and where I'm going to be and who I'm going to talk to and who I'm going to evaluate and then go from there.
Yeah, Chad, I know you were in Tennessee, I believe, on Tuesday for what was their skills camp. Before we talk about the Georgia representatives that were there, talk a little about how these camps benefit. You know, considering that college coaches can't go to these camps, how much the individual camps benefit the schools at which they're held? For example, how much did Lane Kiffin in Tennessee benefit from having this camp on their campus?
Well, this is their camp. So all the coaching staff from Tennessee was there. They
right,
were putting this camp on themselves. So their entire staff was involved from running the drills, inviting the kids, coaching them up, recruiting them, showing them and their parents love, and, you know, offering some new kids. And if it's a camp put on by Scout, no, they cannot come.
No, my question is – Chad, my question is, right, because it's their camp, their coaches could be there. But my point is, college coaches from other schools can't come, right? So if you have
right.
a camp, if you put on a camp, if you're a school like Tennessee or Florida that puts on a camp like Friday Night Lights, how much of a benefit is it to put on those camps? Because you do get to talk to these kids and see these kids play, whereas if you're not putting on a camp and you're a college coach, you can't go visit those camps.
Correct, yeah. I mean, it definitely benefits the school that puts the camp on. That's why every school does three camps a year. You know, everybody has their big camp, like you said, Friday Night Lights. You have Showtime, the Florida State, Dog Night at Georgia. Every school has their big one, but every school has three, and it benefits that school immensely. I mean, the coaches are there, you know, get to see kids face-to-face, their work ethic, you know, how they react to their coaching style, just what kind of personality they have, how they connect to one another. It's very beneficial, not only for the coaches, but the players as well, to see if they can fit in at a place like Tennessee. So it's very good, I think, for both sides from a recruiting standpoint, for coaches and prospects for each camp across the country.
Yeah, getting back to Tennessee's camp specifically, what were some of the Georgia athletes, or I should say, who were some of the Georgia athletes that impressed you the most on Tuesday?
Obviously Blake Sims was there, Alabama commitment, went up there and worked out at quarterback and wide receiver, and a little bit of DB as well. Definitely had a good day bouncing around from position to position. His teammate, 2011 linebacker A.J. Johnson out of Gainesville as well, had a good day. Already has an offer from Tennessee. Looked better in space at linebacker than I even thought he would. A big kid at 6'3", 225 pounds that moved very well. Another kid that's kind of under the radar right now in Georgia is Victor Beasley out of Adairsville, Georgia. Also came up and worked out at linebacker at Tennessee. A big kid, about 6'4". 225 pounds, played a lot of receiver last year. I think he'll play both ways this year. But, you know, those three guys, Marquise Ambles came up late in the day from Henry County, also had a good day there and got a lot of love from Tennessee coaches. But overall, I think good showing from Georgia kids up at Tennessee.
Yeah, getting back to Blake Sims, you saw him play firsthand. Where do you think he would best be suited at the college level? And what's your feeling Alabama for what Alabama's going to do with him?
Well, I just talked to his dad about an hour and a half ago, and he was driving over to Alabama. And I know you asked, you know, what is Alabama going to do with him? I'm not sure he's going to be playing for Alabama next year. We'll have to wait and see. Still, I don't think the book is not closed on where he's going to be. Right. Yes, he is still committed, but Georgia's involved, Tennessee's involved. But I think he's best on the offensive side. Don't think he'll be playing quarterback on a level like the SEC. If he went to, like, a West Virginia, a Kansas, someone that runs that spread, he might could play quarterback there because he is 5'11 and a half, maybe 6 feet, but he's so athletic and just, you know, just hard to check one-on-one with the ball in his hands. So I think he's best as a slot receiver if he works on his hands. I'm trying to run the routes. They could also play corner or safety. Just a versatile athlete with great feet, great hips, and very quick and very good in space.
I was getting ready to ask you about Blake Sims, and I thought he was committed to Alabama, and it just seems funny. Would he just be going to this, obviously you said his recruit